back in awe. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It's day 13 at the International Football Festival in Russia, and it's a day featuring the final first-round matches in Group C and D. Group C is done and dusted after Tuesday's matches in Moscow and Sochi, respectively. In Moscow, a crowd of more than 78,000 packed Luzhniki Stadium for the scoreless draw between Denmark and France. And in Sochi, the host city of the 2014 Winter Olympics, a crowd of more than 44,000 saw Peru beat Australia 2-0. Andre Carrillo and Paulo Guerrero, Peru's all-time leading scorer, had the goals. Now, the French already had booked their ticket to the knockout round, and they finished on top of Group C with 7 points from three matches. Denmark was next with 5 points, and the Danes also are through to the knockout round. Peru had 3 points, and the Socceroos of Australia were at the bottom of the group with 1 point. In Group D Tuesday evening, Nigeria will play Argentina in St. Petersburg, Russia, and Iceland is matched against Croatia in Rostov-on-Don, Russia. The Croatians, with the maximum 6 points from two matches, already have qualified for the knockout stage. The Super Eagles of Nigeria are next with 3 points, followed by Iceland and Argentina with 1 point each. The Super Eagles need at least a draw against desperate Argentina in St. Petersburg. If that occurs, the only way Iceland would overtake Nigeria in the group standings is if it beats Croatia by multiple goals. Our Daybreak Africa sportsman Samson Omale is in St. Petersburg, and Samson says fans supporting both Nigeria and Argentina are very, very excited.
I'm outside the St. Petersburg Stadium here in Russia, and of course the fans are getting excited already as they begin to gear up for the much talked about, much anticipated game between Nigeria and Argentina. I've spoken to a couple of the fans. They've told me that yes, that Argentina is going to win. And if you talk to the Nigerian fans, they will tell you, they definitely will tell you that the Nigerian national team, the Super Eagles, are also going to win the game. I see you wearing a Nigerian jersey, and of course, from your color, I don't think you're a Nigerian.
Yes, yes. Well, I love the Nigerian team, and this is the freshest jersey the World Cup has ever seen.
So why are you supporting the Nigerian national team, the Super Eagles?
Well, my first World Cup was in South Africa, so I was cheering for Bafana Bafana there. And ever since, I love the African team, so I'm cheering for them.
All right, so who is your favorite player in the Nigerian national team?
Oh, you don't have to ask me that, man. You don't have to ask me that, dude.
All right.
I'm an American, man. We got to pick a team this year.
Yeah,
every American gets to pick a team,
okay.
So I'm just excited to be here, man. I'll be cheering loud for you.
All right, thank you very much.
My name is Dwayne Jarvis.
Okay. Dwayne, where are you from?
I'm from Toronto.
Oh, great. And you came here for this game?
Yeah, to see Nigeria versus Argentina.
Wow. So you're supporting who?
Nigeria. Nigeria has two players that I like very well, John Obi Mikel and Victor Moses. I know they're from Chelsea, as you can see from the hat, so just come to show support for those guys and the whole team.
All right, so who do you think will win at the end of the day? You've been following this World Cup.
Nigeria could win, but they have to be able to match the intensity that Argentina is going to show, seeing as both of these guys need the win. But Nigeria has a strong midfield, strong wingers. If they come out and play how I expect them to play, there's no question that they can't win.
Can I just talk to you guys a little bit, please? I can see you are donning Nigerian jersey.
Yeah.
It means you're supporting Nigeria.
Yeah, she's supporting Nigeria.
Okay, great. So, why are you guys supporting Nigeria?
Why won't I support Nigeria? And she's my wife, so she got to support Nigeria.
So, ladies, I can see you're all dressed in Argentina colors. It means you're supporting Argentina.
You're very perceptive. Oh.
Why are you supporting Argentina?
You have to always support your motherland. Yes. But we wish your team all the very best.
Okay, so who do you think is going to win today?
Argentina. You have to have faith.
Oh, yeah, but they've not been playing so well.
Yeah. Well, but yeah.
But in this match.
But you got to have faith.
Do you speak English?
Yes.
Oh, great. So tell me a little bit about today's game. Who do you think is going to win?
Argentina will win.
Very difficult. But
why do you think Argentina will win?
Two goals for Messi. Yes, yes. It's difficult, but we're going to win.
But he's not been scoring of late, so why do you think he's going to score today?
He will wake up today.
Yes, he will wake up today.
Messi will wake up today?
Yeah, Messi will wake up today.
And you think he will score?
Yes.
Two goals.
Okay,
two
so goals. You think that the Nigerian team will not be able to score any goal today?
Yes, it's difficult, Nigerian team.
Why do you think so? But they defeated Iceland.
Iceland, also difficult, all difficult teams.
Pegue a Musa, pegue a Musa, Salvio, pegue otra vez a Musa.
After spending 2 days in St. Petersburg, it appears the match between the Super Eagles of Nigeria and the Alba Celeste of Argentina is the much talked about fixture in this tournament.
But of course, you know, Argentina are hurt. They want to make amends because they are the big boys. They're one of their favorite teams. But then things are not going according to book.
Mikel and his teammates are determined to break the World Cup jinx when they take on Argentina in Tuesday's Group D finale in St. Petersburg. Brian Idowu gives an insight into the thinking of the team ahead of today's encounter.
We've met Argentina already a lot of times in the group stages and in the World Cup. And it doesn't add pressure because that was in the past. We are here now to play in the present, and the present is more important right now. Of course, we have to watch the matches and learn from the mistakes we did back then, and we are going to improve on it.
If Argentina beat Nigeria in the final game and Croatia beat Iceland, Argentina will go through. Nigeria can qualify with a draw or win against Argentina if Iceland lose or draw against Croatia. And coach Gerard Rohr,
we were much better than in the first one, so we are improving, and the work now is paying, and I hope that will not be already a penalty against us, because my young players sometimes can make a mistake, and that all the set pieces will be okay defensively, and we will be better offensively.
Some Nigerian journalists who are in St. Petersburg for the epic encounter have been sharing with me their perspectives of Tuesday's game.
It's going to be really difficult for Nigeria. Argentina, like you know, have always been a tough nut to crack for us at the World Cup. So this also is going to be almost the same, but I'm very positive as a Nigerian and as a journalist too that the Super Eagles will do the business against the Alba Celeste. It's going to be very hard. Lionel Messi and the rest of the guys really want to make up for not playing too well in the tournament so far.
From what I saw at the press conference, they have underlined the seriousness with which the team has taken this game.
Others believe Nigeria's destiny is in their hands to make or break.
I think then the onus is on Nigeria and Senegal to continue carrying the African flag, because you have Tunisia basically out of the tournament, Egypt also out of the tournament, Morocco out of the tournament. So it's all up to Nigeria to really try and lift the African dream alongside Senegal.
I am Samson Omale in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with some fun World Cup facts about Nigeria and Argentina is reporter Prince Nesta. Sporty World Cup greetings, Prince.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny. Did you know that the last time Argentina failed to win a World Cup game was in 1934, when the tournament was a straight knockout? Argentina had selected an inexperienced amateur squad and were beaten 3-2 by Sweden in the first round. However, Nigeria's 6 World Cup wins have all come against European sides, and the Super Eagles have lost all 4 of their previous World Cup games against Argentina, with all of those defeats by single goal margins. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. The Super Eagles of Nigeria are hoping to advance to the World Cup's knockout stage in Russia, as are the Teranga Lions of Senegal. The Senegalese will play Colombia Thursday in Samara, Russia, where a berth in the round of 16 will be on the line. Tony Nezianya is a former sports editor of the News Agency of Nigeria. Tony also was a former spokesman of the Nigeria Olympic Committee. Tony tells reporter Iron Mike Mbonye that West African teams have proved to be the best on the continent.
I'm not surprised, you know, really, because for a very long time, West Africa has been dubbed the powerhouse of African football. It is clear that so far they still hold the ace. Over time, it used to be the Zairians and all that, you know, who are dominating and who are representing Africa. But after a very long time now, the real powerhouse of African football has emerged, and these are countries within the West African sub-region.
Do you see this dominance continuing in future tournaments such as the Olympic Games, youth soccer, and even the World Cup?
Yeah, indeed. It was Nigeria started it all in 1996. It was the first African nation to have won the gold medal in the Olympics. And, of course, repeated by Ghana. And then the third was Cameroon. And Cameroon is supposed to be in the Central African Republic, you know, but is more in West Africa than in... And in most cases, they want to regard themselves as West Africans. So clearly, this is where the African powerhouse, you know, as far as soccer is concerned, is residual.
What would be your suggestions to the Confederation of African Football regarding the improvement of football in other regions of Africa?
The opportunities are there, but I think this what is much more evident here is that those in West Africa appear to be hungrier, you know, for medals, for gold, for whatever it takes, you know, and the fortunes that follow football, you know. So I don't know how you can force somebody, compel. You cannot really, you know. So they have even more advanced leagues and all that, you know, in North Africa, for instance. But I do not know what really is at play and that affect their chances beyond the African continent.
The victories recorded by Nigeria and Senegal at the ongoing World Cup, how would you describe them?
Yeah, they are so lifting because when all appeared lost, Senegal rose, and that indeed, you know, may have propelled Nigeria to go all out and achieve victory. And I hope it is sustained within the subsequent match because clearly, the Eagles were able to defeat the Argentinians in the friendly. And who knows, there could be a repeat of that. And it's quite possible, going by the kind of changes made in the team, that the match victorious against Iceland.
That's Tony Nezianya, the former sports editor of the News Agency of Nigeria. Tony also was a former spokesman of the Nigeria Olympic Committee, and Tony was talking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria's commercial capital. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, Group C is done and dusted after Tuesday's matches in Moscow and Sochi, respectively. In Moscow, Denmark and France played to a scoreless draw. And in Sochi, the host city of the 2014 Winter Olympics, Peru beat Australia 2-0. The French already had booked their ticket to the knockout round, and they finished on top of Group C with 7 points from 3 matches. Denmark was next with 5 points, and the Danes also are through to the World Cup's knockout round. As I mentioned earlier, Group D leader Croatia, already through to the knockout round, is playing Iceland this Tuesday evening in Rostov-on-Don, Russia. Iceland and Croatian fans celebrated together in Rostov-on-Don ahead of their match. Let's listen in now to a few of their comments. But first, Iceland fans warm up with their Viking clap.
Hopefully Iceland can win, but it will be a tough game. The Croatians look very good in this tournament. They scored 5 goals and not conceded any. So hopefully, yeah, we won them last time. So hopefully we can do it again and have a positive result in the Nigerian-Argentina game.
Croatia at the moment's built a fantastic momentum. The teams come together. There's a lot of passion and togetherness within the team, and we're in great form. So I'm expecting a big victory.
I know we played them in qualifying and they were better, but they came first in the group. But Croatia will win because Croatia is doing really well and they just keep going.
Beating the drum in Rostov-on-Don, Russia. You've been listening to some Croatian and Iceland fans ahead of their Group D World Cup match this Tuesday evening. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a look back at Monday's Group B results is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty World Cup greetings, Gwen.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny. On Monday, in 2 games, in 2 cities, in 2 separate stadiums, and at the exact same time, Spain and Portugal advanced to the World Cup round of 16. Spain finished their match against Morocco in a 2-2 draw to take the top spot in Group B ahead of Portugal. And the celebrations began.
Que viva España!
Of course, because we won, not one we draw, but we go ahead in the match. That's great for us.
Spain's opening round of 16 match will be played on Sunday against host nation Russia. The 2-2 draw puts Morocco at the bottom of Group B, but this fan says he is still proud of his team.
We are really proud about our team, about this young guy who play very good, who play with they love his country, and we are really happy. We are out of the game, but we are really happy about our team. Okay, we still happy. We will support them next Copa America, next World Cup. But we love them. From our hearts, we love Morocco. We love Morocco.
Morocco looked to be on their way to a victory until Spain equalized the game in stoppage time when an offside call was reversed following a lengthy video assistant referee review. Spain was awarded the goal and secured the top spot in Group B. After the match, this Moroccan fan complained the VAR should be reviewed by FIFA.
They have been, FIFA just is very selective in the way they are using the VAR. If they want to be a fair organization, sports organization, they should do something like tennis does, where a team gets 2 or 3 times where they can request or force a VAR.
Meanwhile, 1,200 miles away, another draw and another controversial VAR call. Portugal and Iran finished their match in a 1-1 draw, and in another VAR review, the ref decided to award a penalty to Iran after much deliberation. Iran survived that call in a shocking missed penalty kick by Cristiano Ronaldo. However, in a separate review, Ronaldo was let off with a yellow card after he appeared to strike an opponent. In a post-match press conference, Iranian coach Carlos Queiroz criticized VAR, and directly asked FIFA for an explanation for the rescinded red card. He said, quote, "We asked for a clarification with ample speed to ask FIFA for a clarification. They refuse. Send a letter. We'll answer you in the next World Cup. We just need to know who is refereeing the game. Who will take decisions in the game? We have a right to know. The people have a right to know." End quote. Well, the VAR system that was designed to erase controversy seems to be stirring it up instead. Iran completes their World Cup run in third place in their group. Portugal advances as the runners-up and will play Uruguay in the round of 16 on Saturday. Egypt fell to Saudi Arabia 2-1 on Monday. And while both teams have already been eliminated, Saudis had something to celebrate with their first World Cup victory in 24 years. Meanwhile, disappointed Egyptian fans contemplated the future of striker Mo Salah and their national team.
Well, I don't think it's important because I think that he prefers to play for his team, Liverpool, rather than to play for the national team, where he could be injured or may feature some difficulties, and that's it. That's why I don't think it's important. It's better to find another player that gives more to the team rather than him.
Bad luck. I see the players who's not doing like even 50%. This is the quality of Egyptian player, unfortunately. This is the quality. We have just one or two players with World Cup quality. Others, they're not for the World Game. Maybe the local competition.
It was not the ending Egypt expected, and although Salah scored Egypt's only goal in the match, he did not celebrate. Egypt finishes at the bottom of their group with 0 points. Well, Tuesday's crucial Group D match between Nigeria and Argentina has many Nigerians hoping the Super Eagles will become the first African nation to claim the World Cup title. And the managing director of BetKing, Byron Petzer, says many have already placed their bets.
I think it's a very interesting market. If you look at the sheer population and the size of the population in Nigeria, it makes it one of the biggest countries to operate in if you manage to get it right. And also the love and passion for soccer. I think that, in a country where there is so much passion for football, it's really engraved in the roots of the country, that sports betting naturally is a market that over time will really do well.
The betting industry is booming in Nigeria in keeping with the country's rapidly growing population and the rise in web payments. Experts say sports betting generates around $1 billion in Nigeria and is expected to keep growing. So, if you are the betting kind, you might remember the Nigerian prophet who predicted a 2-1 victory against Argentina. And if that isn't enough, hours before the match, a famous clairvoyant cat made a prediction. The cat was placed in front of bowls of cat food, one next to Nigeria's flag and one next to Argentina's. Guess which one he chose? Nigeria! And so far, its World Cup predictions have been 100% perfect. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Looking ahead to Wednesday, Group F will see South Korea against Germany and Mexico will face Sweden. And in Group E, Serbia versus Brazil and Switzerland will play Costa Rica. You'll hear all those results tomorrow. And that's all from me. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. And we'll have to wait and see if that cat is 100% perfect. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, results from Tuesday in Group C, France and Denmark played to a scoreless draw in Moscow, and Peru defeated Australia 2-0 in Sochi. The French finished on top of the group with 7 points. Denmark was next with 5 points, and they go through to the knockout stage. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Egyptian goalkeeper Essam El Hadary, who played in front of the net on Monday in Egypt's 2-1 loss to Saudi Arabia. At the age of 45 years and 161 days, El Hadary became the oldest player in history to play in a World Cup match. SM El Hadari, you get a Sunny Side of Sports salute. And that wraps up the June 26th special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Aiden Utko. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
For the last year, the United States has been working to reform the United Nations Human Rights Council into a serious advocate for human rights. Regrettably, said U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, the U.S. call for reform was not heeded.
Human rights abusers continue to serve on and be elected to the Council. The world's most inhumane regimes continue to escape scrutiny. And the Council continues politicizing and scapegoating of countries with positive human rights records in an attempt to distract from the abusers in their ranks.
For these reasons, the United States has officially withdrawn from the UN Human Rights Council. One of the United States' central goals was to prevent the world's worst human rights abusers from gaining Human Rights Council membership. What happened? The Democratic Republic of Congo, known to have one of the worst human rights records in the world, was elected to the Council. The Council also failed to respond in December and January when the Iranian regime killed numerous demonstrators and arrested hundreds more simply for expressing their views. And then there is the matter of the chronic bias against Israel, noted Ambassador Haley. Last year, the United States made clear that it would not accept the continued existence of Agenda Item 7, which singles out Israel in a way that no other country is singled out. Earlier this year, the Human Rights Council passed 5 resolutions against Israel, more than the number passed against North Korea, Iran, and Syria combined, said Ambassador Haley. America will continue its proud legacy as a champion of human rights, as the world's largest provider of humanitarian aid, and as a liberator of oppressed people. While we do not seek to impose the American system on anyone else, said Ambassador Haley, we do support the rights of all people to have freedoms bestowed on them by their Creator. That is why we are withdrawing from the UN Human Rights Council, an organization that is not worthy of its name.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of the Sunny Side of Sports. Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, decentralized systems of governments in Africa. In Uganda, it's called decentralization. In Kenya, devolution. In Nigeria and Ethiopia, it's called federalism. The transfer of authority from central to local government on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA,
your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.